After sermon, we will sing Psalter 377, stanzas 1, 6, and 7. And let us read again our sermon text today from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? The Bible is full of stories. Each story shows who God is and what He does. Some stories are very bright and helpful. Other stories are very gloomy and even serious. But often a story has a good part and a bad part. The good part deals with the grace of God, and the bad part deals with the sinful nature of man. Grace is the only solution for the sin of man. Otherwise, sin will never be forgiven, and the sinner will never be changed without God's grace. We seem to live in an age where sin of man keeps increasing and the sinners continue to be dominant in our society. As a result, the faithful people become so vulnerable. In particular, faithful women, children, elderly people, the poor, even the foreigners, seem to be at the mercy of the strongly willful and sinful ones in our days. How could they live day after day under such threatening society as ours? Will only the fittest survive? What can they expect given that they are all weak in one sense? Christians do not have to despair as they know that there is grace for them through the Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we hear a beautiful and amazing story about a young widowed woman's new life in the promised land. Then our theme today is grace for the strangers. With the Lord's help, we'd like to consider three things. First, grace sovereignly prearranged. Second, grace generally provided. And third, grace humbly pursued. Here we see a picture about a young woman. Her name is Ruth. She was born in Moab. And so she is called the Moabitess. In the beginning of this book, we found that she lived in the days of Judges. The days of Judges were known to be a period of spiritual decline of God's people in the land of promise. For this reason, the book of Judges ends with this ominous recount. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 21:25. The most grotesque and graphic sins are described in this previous book. And now we come to this book of Ruth within the same period. The conversation that we read today was happening in Bethlehem. You might wonder how she came to Bethlehem. The story is like this. she was married in Moab to one of the Jewish people from Bethlehem. Her husband's family came to Moab as there was a famine in their land. It seems that, as promised by God, God was dealing with the sin of His people in that land. Otherwise, the land would be full of milk and honey according to God's promise. The name of the man who led his family out of Bethlehem was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. They had together two sons. The father, Elimelech, died in Moab. Now the two sons of Naomi got married to Moabitish women, and the names of the women were Ruth and Orpah. Suddenly, the two sons of Naomi died in Moab too. Naomi lost her husband as well as her sons in Moab. What a tragedy this would be. Naomi finally decided to return back home in Bethlehem. She heard that the Lord visited His people to give bread. Only one of the two daughter-in-laws, Orpah, returned to her own country, Moab. But the other, instead, returned with Naomi to the land of promise, and her name is Ruth. Ruth told Naomi like this. Please look at chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Naomi lost her husband. She also lost her two sons. She said that the hand of the Lord was against her, feeling bitter for the death of her two sons and her husband. Losing almost everything, she became empty. She was full with her husband and her sons, and now she is empty. The emptiness made her bitter. She returned to Bethlehem with her widowed daughter-in-law. Ruth also lost her husband. Even Ruth had to leave her own country, Moab, for the covenant community, Bethlehem. To Ruth, following Naomi could mean even her own death. In this great turmoil of a family, through death of all men in the family, the widows became helpless. The widows became hopeless. God is working sovereignly through even the tragedies. Naomi did not know what would unfold in Bethlehem. Imagine what sorrow and grief she was going through in those bitter days for her mother-in-law. Ruth was a weak Moabitess widow. To Naomi, she was more of liability than of an asset. But God is working something mighty things in the heart of this Gentile woman. Both daughter-in-laws were in the same situations. Both lost their husbands from the promised land. And both were given the opportunity to return to their mother country. But it was Ruth alone that followed her mother-in-law. Now, let's move on to see what is really happening to her. Bethlehem, literally meaning the house of bread. And would this Bethlehem become real and true even to Ruth? In this we see God's grace generously provided, which is our second point. Ruth chapter 2 starts with identifying the kinsman of Naomi. The kinsman is also known as family protector. This word with its root words occur 20 times in the book of Ruth. Kinsman is somebody of a close relative, and he is obliged to help the needy, poor family relations. Boaz is one of the kinsmen to Naomi and Ruth. God uses Boaz to provide grace for Naomi and Ruth. What is Boaz like? His character overflows with amazing grace. First, he desires her good. He says at verse 4, "The Lord be with you." Second, he noticed her interest. He asked who this damsel is. Third, he calls her my daughter. Verse 8, Boaz calls Ruth my daughter. She would doubt her ears. Truly, this must be very friendly manner of calling her, if not most. Fourth, he welcomes her presence, verse 8 to 9. Boaz says at verse 9, "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged that young man that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. She is promised to glean in his field openly." Fifth, he knows her past. Verse 11, he knew more about her than she knew about him. Sixth, he appreciates her sacrifices. Verse 11, it was a great challenge for Ruth to leave her own country and to come with Naomi. And he knows her sacrifices and then reassures her that it is worthwhile. Seventh, he encourages her faith. Verse 12, he says, "As if I know your faith." He wishes the reward from the Lord to her. Eighth, he comforts her heart. Verse 13, she recognized the comfort and the hearty manner of speaking from him unto her. Ninth, he provides for her needs. At verse 14, Boaz gives Ruth food to eat. Furthermore, she is fully allowed to glean in his field openly verses 15 to 16. She has a great need to bring something for her mother-in-law at home. And this need is recognized and special means is being offered for her. At the end of this story, we find that she obtained an ephah of barley, which is equivalent to 29 to 30 pounds of crops. Tenth, he protects her purity. Verse 15 to 16. Young men should not touch her. Boaz says, do not insert her. Do not embarrass her. And do not give her hard time. What did she do to earn all this amazing grace? A list of great favors. As far as we understand from the text, she did not do any special thing for Boaz. But she hears this gracious voice from an unknown person. And his name happens to be Boaz. Like his name representing, in him there is strength. This hopeless and helpless widow young woman became encouraged and strengthened with the words of Boaz. Therefore, all this is grace that she receives in opposite way that she deserves. Boaz is later found to be the kinsman of Ruth through her deceased father-in-law. He was certainly one of those different kinsmen. He is to redeem the property of Naomi. He is to help Naomi and Ruth. He is for Naomi and Ruth. Is not Jesus Christ the kinsman redeemer of the believers in all ages? He came to help the helpless and hopeless needy sinners. What comfort and help does he provide? A hell-deserving sinner is forgiven their sins freely by Jesus Christ. Helpless and poor sinners have no other place to go but to Jesus Christ, as they have such unpayable debt against God. Our Redeemer is Jesus Christ, the same forever. There is nothing like this in this world except in Christ Jesus. Nowhere else you could find this kinsman figure. How sweet, how precious is this grace. Then what is your response to all this amazing and overwhelming list of grace? We have here exactly captured the sinner's response to the Redeemer's grace. This is our third point. Grace humbly pursued. First, the author of the scripture catches the manner how Ruth receives this grace. She receives it humbly and thankfully, as if she were standing before the presence of God. Verse 10, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. As she began to glean in the barley field, she was willing to glean, as if she was picking up the crumbs under the table. She was not ashamed to stoop to pick up those grains. She was a beggar, and she did the beggar's job. Therefore, she takes the most humble attitude. Pride never helps us when we desire the grace of God. Second, as she receives the grace, however, it says that she is full of wonders. It is so amazing, literally, as we could see. This grace is so wonderful. In fact, that she asks Boaz the reason why she receives this favor. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Our fallen mind cannot understand fully the beauty of grace. It is beyond our estimation. It is too good for us to realize it was offered for us as well. The first natural response from this foreign lady is not a question of demand, but is a question of wonder and amazement. Why? Why such a person like me are recipient of this overwhelming grace? Why me? In fact, she could be easily misrepresented among those covenant people in Bethlehem. She used different accent. She is familiar with Moabitish culture and food. And by God's providence, she is brought in there. And her intention, apart from her following her mother-in-law, could be easily mistaken among those people. Big question mark is upon her. And then, this kinsman, Boaz, approached her and showed her so overwhelming favor. There are people called in our days international refugees in our days. They left their home country due to certain causes in their home country for many various reasons. And oftentimes religious persecution is major one, and they cannot go back home. Until recently, it was reported that there are such refugees throughout the world, about 50 million people. They are not welcome. They are foreigners, so they are often singled out, and they are pushed as far away as possible from the existing circles of the people. What they encounter so frequently is sheer coldness, if not contempt, despises, or rejection thrown at their faces. It's very common, really, if you look at around in our days. Today, in this worship service, we are told something far, far different from what we would experience in our society. Think about foreigners in this city. A Moabitish woman like Ruth is given full attention, given fullest advantages, as much as possible, which show us nothing but grace. It's nothing but grace. So she asks, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me. Finally, she goes on to plead with Boaz that she will continue to seek grace even after knowing who she really is. She says, I am a stranger. At the end of that sentence, she is telling Boaz who she really is at the last minute. Her identity seems to be included that confession. Moab was formed of descendants by the incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughter from Genesis 19. Moab was clearly associated by the days of Judges with pagan religion and worship. She knew clearly herself to be outside from the commonwealth of Israel and from the covenant people with the Lord. Everything was unfamiliar, unknown, and alien to her. It looks like that covenant blessing was not meant for her, at least externally, but she does not give in just because she's a stranger to this covenant. She is, by God's providence, led to pursue further this grace. And she says, verse 13a, let me find favor in thy sight. She is to pursue this grace continually, even though she knows that she is an outsider. But why is this grace? The covenant love is unconditional. Everyone under this covenant is chosen unconditionally apart from their individual work. No contribution is required from us. For this reason, the love of God towards sinners abounds more, especially when they know truly who they are before this holy God. Dear friends among us, do you know something of this unconditional love of God? This kind of unconditional love results in overwhelming humility and gratitude every day. Even Simon Peter confesses to Jesus Christ, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Should we not pursue this grace continually? Jesus Christ came to show the fullest covenantal love of God to all sinners across languages, across racial barriers, across cultures. He was killed for sinners like you and me. For the sake of rejection, we are accepted. Before, there was clear boundary between the covenant people and non-covenant people. But now, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, came to all kinds of, to call all kinds of sinners. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance, Jesus says. Kinsman Redeemer Boaz melts her heart, literally. What about you? You heard her humble plea for grace. This is the way God deals with sinners like us. God is even speaking to you through Jesus Christ in these last days. Let me conclude with a couple of applications. First, if you are a stranger to this grace, seek honestly this grace in the eyes of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Son of David, and the King David was born as a grandchild to Obed, and Obed is the son of Ruth and Boaz. Boaz is such a pretype of Jesus Christ. Here we see the beauty and glory of Jesus Christ in His very loving kindness. On that day, the most comforting and gracious words were spoken unto her in her heart, as much as Jesus Christ speak to the sinners on this day. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Ruth was in the direct line of Jesus Christ in this holy story. It does not matter what people group you are in, based on your race, language, and culture. You need your Savior as much as other people need Him. The Church of Christ is all kinds of different people with Christ, and you cannot and should not be a stranger in this Church of Christ. Christ Jesus, the head of this church, is the kinsman redeemer. So you must pursue becoming part of this covenant community. Second, please do not underestimate His loving kindness. Not only this story, but also the whole scripture in various manifold colors show you what is the magnitude and extent and scope of this amazing grace of God is. It is unsearchable, unlimited, and inexhaustible. You are always invited further inside into this living fountain of grace. Ask for more grace, James 4:6. Abide in Christ and feast with Christ. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Psalm 36:7-9. Lastly, I would like you to remember and testify to this amazing grace. You know that this surprising story was happening in the days of the judges. Even though the Israel was God's singularly chosen people among many nations, they did forsake God in those days. It was clear in every way they forsook God. Even though all the children of Israel were brought forth to the land of promise with God's mighty hand, they did forget the Lord in those days. But remember this Gentile woman. She is brought to the promised land by God's sovereign will. And she is brought to the conversion in those wicked days in an amazing manner. We never know how God would work outside the church. John Newton, the former slave trader, writes this in his 80s with his failing memory. I cannot remember much, but I remember two things. I am a great sinner. Christ is the great Savior. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to help us to remember this grace for the strangers, that we may also show grace for the strangers in our days. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God in heaven, we continue to pursue Thy grace. Even though we acknowledge and confess that we were once a strangers to this grace. In the world, we didn't find anything like this. But in Jesus Christ, we are overwhelmed with this satisfying love of God, mercy, and peace, and abundant grace. We pray, Lord, that we would be the shining light in this world as people of God, to show forth this marvelous light through our words and deeds, that sinners outside this covenant may still be brought in to find the kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. We beg of Thee, O Lord, that we may deepen in our understanding, and we may never be done away with learning the love of God in every aspect, from A to Z. O Lord, give us this love. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The offering will be uplifted and we will sing to God's praise. Psalter 377, stanzas 1, 6, and 7. Oh, thank the Lord of love. Oh, thank the God, all gods above, His tender mercies ever sure to all eternity endure.